My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
Hold on, everybody.
It's over.
We think.
Here's the situation.
It's over.
Hold on, everybody.
We think. Here's the situation.
The hottest spot north of Milwaukee.
That's your cue.
Freaking bitch.
She is an aloof bitch.
Kick the ball, you little bitch.
I'm going to kick your ass, you little bitch. Pop me up over there, bitch. Yeah, I've never seen so much dong in my life. How far up your ass is your head? Resourceful, little bitch. Isachi.
Your bitch combo. Just, it makes me so happy.
Yeah. Some of my finer works.
It really is. I was telling Buck this while you were gone. There's a, when I was at the Timbers game, one of the BTJ's co-workers, wife, looks, she bears a striking resemblance to Sweet D from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
And I, every time I'm around her, I have to fight with every fiber of my being to not call her a dumb bitch. It's just, I want to just.
Yeah, she probably wouldn't.
No. I had to ask this time. I was like, I pulled him aside. I was like, hey, do you guys by any chance watch It's Always Sunny? And he's like, no. He's like, but I've heard of the show. And I was like, so you don't know Caitlin Olsen? Sweet. He's like, no, should I? And I was like, yeah, it's a moot point. He's like, why? I'm like, you don't. It's just for the best. You know? So every time around him, my gal's just like, please don't, please don't, please don't. Because she knows it's just, it's an itch that I have. It's just, I can't look at his wife and not see Sweet D. And anytime you see Sweet D, he's like, D, you dumb bitch. There's like an 8-minute supercut on YouTube of them just calling D a bitch in various forms. It's great. So whenever I hear you go on your little rant there, it makes me think of that and makes me smile.
Mm.
That whiny bitch.
Bitch is a great word.
Which, by the way, Buckley, we need to see if
what?
We can make this happen because Wrexham, the Rob McElhaney's team.
Yep.
the female team is playing the Portland Thorns in Portland, and Caitlin Olsen is coming.
Okay.
Because she is a Portland native.
Well, isn't her dad like a big fan
of her? Her dad's a fan, so we need to find a way to
call her a dumb bitch to her face.
We need to get Sweet D in studio to talk about the big Wrexham Portland Thorns match.
I saw her. This was not this last Vegas trip, but several Vegas trips ago. Yeah. I ran into her and Rob.
Multi-COVIDs ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, multi-COVIDs.
Many COVIDs ago.
I ran into them at a restaurant there. Yeah. They were sitting at the bar together.
They seemed delightful.
Yeah. They were just... Yeah. I mean, they were just mingling.
Yeah.
Well, you remember, I sat next to the whole... Oh, I told you. We sat next to the whole most of them. It wasn't all of them. Danny DeVito wasn't there.
No.
And neither was my man Charlie Day. Mm-hmm. But the other guys. And they were there. They were sitting at the bar having margaritas together. Thought it was cute.
Yeah.
Because they're married, obviously.
Yeah. And they just seem like a really, really great couple. And it's one of my all-time favorite shows. And she is just comedic gold. She was great in The Mick, too. I really enjoy her. And I saw that, they had the thing on Instagram. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, well... Now that we are the soccer show on record here in Portland, and I'm best friends with Portland Timbers coach Phil Neville.
And I'm going to a game.
And you're going to a game. I mean, it only makes sense.
What more do we have to do?
That Caitlin Olsen comes on this program to promote the big Wrexham Thorns match.
That'd be cool to talk to her.
Absolutely.
See what we can do.
Ball's in Buckley's court.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll see if our people can get a hold of her people. And by our people, I mean me. I don't know who her people are.
Yeah. Might want to reach out to the Thorns.
Reach out to her dad.
Yeah.
Who's her dad?
Her dad listens.
He listens to
that's
the
great,
show.
But I don't know what his name is, what his phone number is, or email.
It's like, do some work, huh?
Let me just find Caitlin Olsen's dad from like a needle of a haystack.
It's not all potty dances. You missed it yesterday. We're here during the break, and next thing I know, Buckley is singing a potty song and doing a dance into his phone. It was very, very concerning.
For his wife. Oh, I mean his kid.
He does a potty dance.
Huh. You thought it was endearing yesterday.
Wait,
it was.
You're trying to get him to go potty?
We did like a big potty training weekend where...
Is he being a little potty bitch?
No, he was actually awesome. We totally... he was before, which is why we did this intensive weekend. We were trying to get him to before, and he's like, no, not interested.
They did a potty boot camp.
Potty boot camp this weekend. Didn't leave the house. Let him run around in underwear over a tarped floors. Yeah.
Buckley showed me a photo. It was great. His kid's like in a pair of like Ninja Turtle skivvies or whatever with a big old boiler hanging out over the top.
My wife looks at him and goes, oh, God, he got your body type.
It's a great, like if you could see like an alcoholic, poor eating like child, it's a little, but he just has this disheveled look about him. He's just in some skivvies, gut hanging out. He's like, what? You want me to go to the bathroom where?
Is that how they do it now? It's like a boot camp and you just...
No, not always.
Try to get him to crap in the toilet.
They've been trying to make him do it at daycare, and we've been trying to get him to sit on his potty at home, and he just doesn't want to. He likes the routine and the ease of the diapers, does what he wants when he wants, and really want to give that up. So
spent all that night.
We did a thing where we went around the house, we collected every diaper from every bag and drawer, and then we said, we're done with these,
I'm asking a real question here.
Yeah.
Because, look, we've all been laying on the couch and been like, I got to go to the bathroom, and you don't want to get up. So I understand the urge to be like, I'm going to let it fly right here. But having soiled yourself, that's a terrible feeling. It's cold, it's wet. If you go number two, it burns, it stings. Like, it's awful. If you went free range and you just said, hey, you do what you want to do, kid. Like, you're on your own. How long would it take a kid to figure out that taking now, at some point, you can't do it when he's one. But by how old is Cannon?
He just turned 3.
Okay, so he's full sentences.
Yeah,
easy to communicate. All that. If we didn't do this potty boot camp, we just sat down, my man Cannon, and we're like, "Listen here, big shooter,
figure it out.
Figure like no more diapers. You're in dirty. You're in your skivvies, and you can poop and pee wherever you want. But I'll tell you what, we ain't cleaning. You know, we'll clean up the mess. But you're on your own." How long before he would figure out that taking a poop and pee is awful? If you let him sit in his own filth a couple times, would he eventually figure it out, or would you battle this for years?
No, so this kind of lends to the system that we did over the weekend, where as soon as they go in it, they're so not used to it because they're wearing the underwear instead of the diapers, they're immediately uncomfortable. And they're like, ah, I gotta go. And they like run towards the bathroom.
See,
I'm
thinking that you don't need a potty boot camp. I think you do this chimpanzee style.
It's mostly that you are preparing your house to not be soiled on while you're doing this over a three-day stretch.
I just want to know if anyone's ever done my free-range chicken approach. We just put them in the backyard and be like, hey, man, figure it out. Figure it out. This, I mean, you think about it, like, back in the olden days, hunter-gatherer style.
Yeah, wherever you want.
I'm guessing kids had to figure it out pretty quick.
He was already figuring out in his diapers. He was like, when they're younger, they all kids have this weird, like, no, I didn't go, and they just run around with this giant dump in their type, and you don't understand why they want it. He's of the age now, or got to the age where he's like, I just did this thing, and you need to fix it now. And so we're like, okay, it's time for you to be in big boy undies.
See, I don't remember a lot. I don't remember ever potty training any of my kids. I just don't remember the details. The one I do remember is my oldest would hide and take dumps. So you had to be aware.
Super common.
You had to be aware that if you didn't see her, you're like, wait a minute.
She's probably doing some business somewhere.
She would hide under tables. She would hide behind couches.
In closets and corners.
Yeah. Which always fascinated me because you know you got a dump. You know you're not going to take a dump or you're not going to take a Cal Raleigh in front of everybody. So you go off to poop. It was the little young brain fascinated me where I would always be like, well, if you're going to hide to take a dump and you have to go somewhere, why not just go to the toilet? But, you know.
I don't think it would take that long, especially if he's watching them go to the toilet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing is it didn't take very long. It took, I mean, by Monday,
well, no,
he was...
in his scenario.
Oh, in his... Yeah,
my free-range
I don't think it would take
scenario.
That long unless your son is an idiot.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think
in which case, there is a shirt for that.
My son is an idiot.
It's true. Do we make those in little man sizes? And... dead serious.
And how long before you get worried? Like, okay, so let's say he goes a week and he's crapping his pants and he hasn't figured it out. He's chafing. He's like, God, this sucks.
I've heard about parents going like through months of hell trying to figure this out.
Yeah, but you're actively trying to get them to poop on the toilet, you mean?
Yeah. But they're having accidents all over the place, in your car, at school,
but you're
whatever.
Going free range. You're going Sook's
idea.
Yeah,
you're going my idea.
How long before you go, God, this kid is a moron? You know?
A couple weeks? 2 weeks?
I'm going a week. Well, yeah, probably 2 weeks.
Well, like the first time you get a bad diaper rash and you explain to your three-year-old, hey, this hurts. I get it. If you stop crapping, you know, this, I'm fascinated by it because it's, I really like human evolution books. It's like my favorite thing to read about how we came to be us, right? Where along the line did this become a big issue? Like, and back in the old days.
What do you mean?
Well, like, you go all the way back to pre-man. Like, you know, Denisovans and Neanderthals, what, you know, like the early. Like, we're still like half chimp, half us. We're working our way towards humans. We haven't really quite figured out clothes yet. Like, what do chimps do? Do chimpanzees have to train their little chimp babies to poop?
Or is it more that they just know they don't want to do it where they eat?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they don't wear little chimp shorts.
But that's my point. But they still don't need to, like, they don't wipe or whatever. Like, so at some point, we went from being animals. Animals don't potty train anyone. Your dog just knows, hey, I'm taking a poop here, and that's what I'm doing. And they can learn where to poop. But at some point, we went from that to pre-human, and then we got into wearing pants and clothes. What was early potty training like? Again, think hunter-gatherers. We're cruising around. We're trying to kill some woolly mammoths. You know, we're out there trying to do our business. Did we have little brats like pooping their leather breeches, or was it just
go do it over there, away from the camp? I don't know.
Yeah, because we didn't have baby wipes. We didn't have TP back then. Like, I don't know how any of that worked. Did kids not wear pants for the first couple years? Where we're like, because we didn't have diapers.
I think they used soft leaves, like sycamore leaves. For wipes, that is.
Yeah, what do you think Tarzan did?
I think he did I think they just throw it. Like, yeah, chimps will take a dumper and grab it and huck it at you. You know, and that's the other thing. Like, cleanliness, that wasn't a thing back in the day. You know, it's just, I'm fascinated. And now we get to, like, modern society, and you think about what a big deal that is and where we have to go and plumbing and all that, and... You know, it's we've gone a long, awkward journey from taking a deuce wherever we wanted it, and now we have to have potty boot camps and big boy panties and the rest of it.
Donald Olson is his name.
So I've seen on the Twitter sphere now.
And mom's name is Melinda, so perhaps you can start there.
Seems like a good place to start.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of people. Last night, my parents told me that I was a hider, ran behind the couch. Yeah, that's fairly common. I think everyone did that.
I used to dookie on my brother.
What? Did you really?
No. I wanted to, though. Little brother, you know, you gotta... I did once fart on his face, and that was like... I feel like of all the years he kicked my ass, I won.
Because of that?
I got one moment where we were wrestling, and I sat on his face and just ripped a big old fart right on his fat nose.
Give him some pink eye.
My God, it was
felt
glorious.
Very cathartic.
It was so glorious.
Fuck! Did you take an ass kicking after that, though?
Oh, probably. Yeah, probably. I don't remember, but probably.
But hey,
man.
For that one glorious moment.
Hey, now.
It worked.
All right. Goober or awesome? This guy, next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Snake news is coming up, but first, some TV. This guy's been popping up a lot more and more, or maybe it's just because I've just been down and watching more TV.
Sure.
But he was hosting Shark Week.
Wow, Shark Week was going on, huh?
Yeah, and then he made, he popped up, out of the blue, he popped up on The Bear. Do you watch The Bear?
I do watch The Bear. I watched, the new season, I watched one episode of it. It was dumb, and I need to go back. I'll keep watching, but I really hated the first episode, and it killed a lot of my enthusiasm for it.
I was pissed at the first episode of the new season.
It was just stupid.
Because it wasn't even a real episode. It was just
flashbacks.
It was B-roll. It was like...
It was 45 minutes of food porn.
Yeah.
And, well, and like, if you're into that, cool. But like...
But look, it's the first episode of a new season. Everybody's waiting for it. And basically, all it was stuff from the past two seasons.
Yes.
And glamorizing the new food. Just like really great shots of the new food.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, look, The Bear, I really like that show. Soft spot in my heart, restaurant.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first two seasons of it, and I'm sure that I will watch the rest of this season.
I finished season three, but it's just not, I don't know.
It loses steam?
I like the show. That show, oddly, has crept so far from where it started to what it became that it's just, I don't know, it's weird. And I guess apparently they filmed... I think this season was 8 or 9 episodes, maybe 10, but I think 8, 9. They filmed another 8 or 9 already. It's already in the can.
Oh, okay.
But they're milking that into a whole new season.
Sure.
So it's sort of to be continued at the end. So this season, I'll just warn you now, I'm not going to give you any spoilers.
You're going to get a huge cliffhanger?
Yes. Like, nothing. They don't resolve any of the things that come up during the season. So you have to wait until next season.
Okay.
But I do like the show.
Wait like a year?
I don't know when they're going to drop it, but that Jeremy Allen White guy, I think he's great, and it's a good show, but, man, it can be tough sometimes.
I understand. Well, this is the problem that I have. This is why I, people have kind of shifted from movies to TV, right? Everyone loves the long-form series, and this is why I like movies to this day better than I do TV. Yes, in TV... you can flesh out more. You can go into more detail. You can extend storylines. 1 out of every 1,000 shows can keep momentum past even 1 season, let alone 2 or 3. Almost every show, even good ones, go through a dip. Like season 4, you're like, oh my God, what was that? And they need to be wound up. Most series shouldn't be more than 1 or 2 years at the most. But people keep extending them. And you run out of ideas, and like you said, it wanders so far from what it was because there was a natural arc to that show that should have ended. But they're like, no, it's a success, so we have to keep going more. See Yellowstone. See Ozark. See, I mean, all of these shows. And Ray Donovan was the best. That thing was terrible.
That show, but yeah, I got through all of it. And it was all the same.
Yes.
And it was 10 seasons of the same thing.
It was terrible at the end. And then Dexter got really, really bad. So either you run out of things and you have to wander way away from what the show was, or you have to do the same thing so many times that you're like, well, this is dumb. How many times can you do the same thing and have me care about it? And so that's why I like movies. Movies, for better or worse, hey, man, you got 2 to 3 hours to get it in and wrap it up and keep it tight because very, very few shows. Breaking Bad was one of the, I think, the few that actually had a great arc. There was never any giant lulls, and they tied it up. But if that thing had gone on another season, we'd be saying the same thing, like, oh my God, what is this?
Almost all of the best shows keep it to 5 seasons or less. The ones that have the restraint to tell their whole story over, I don't know, maybe 40 to 60 episodes and not go into 7, 8, 12 seasons, those I think are the best ones.
So the guy who made the cameo in season 3 of The Bear, out of the blue he pops up in the show, you'll see when you go back and watch it, is John Cena.
You're right there out of town. Why is John Cena in The Bear?
He plays one of the brothers. The two goofy brothers, the fat guy.
Yeah.
And then
aren't there like 9 of them or something like that?
Yeah.
They've got a huge family.
There's supposed to be a bunch of them. He comes in as one of them. He cleans floors. They need the floors.
He's a fack? Is that right?
A what?
Their last name is Fack.
Yes. And they're pretty funny.
Yeah.
And he actually is really good in The Bear. And it was only 1 episode, but he was pretty funny. But I just kept seeing John Cena everywhere. He's everywhere. Yeah.
Well, he's retiring from wrestling.
Is he?
And so every wrestler tries to do this. And very few can actually do it. The one that has done it the best is The Rock. Because you can only wrestle for so long. Batista has done this. He's become a legitimate actor. But for every one of those, there's a lot of others. And no offense to John Cena, that dude is dreadful. Like
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Dude, The Rock is dreadful.
The Rock is dreadful. He's just very likable.
Is John Cena... because he seems like a goober to me.
Yes.
Is he more The Rock or is he more Ryan Reynolds?
The Rock.
Oh, The Rock.
Because he seems more The Rock, but he's everywhere.
He is. Because
The Rock is too.
And people love The Rock, but people love John Cena.
People love John Cena. And Cena has
I will say, in The Bear, he's pretty funny.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know how those two brothers do. It's kind of a little over the top with their banter.
Yeah.
He fits into that really well.
Cena has, there are little, because he's been in a bunch of stuff. Like, he has made a successful transition, and he was in, Cock Blockers.
Whoa.
He was in, I think, one of the Transformer movies. He was okay in the Suicide Squad. Like, he's a bad actor, but The Rock was a bad actor. Schwarzenegger was a bad actor. But if you find the right vehicles, I find Cena to be horrific. Anytime he shows up, I'm like, oh my God, get ready for the most wooden performance of all time. But he's a likable guy, and he's a huge guy. He's a handsome guy. And he's kind of cultivated a good little personality where people
like him.
People like him. And I think there's an element of, hey, it's John Cena. He ain't getting roles because of merit. That's for certain.
Yeah. Well, you'll see him in The Bear.
Well, and again, now that he's retired, he has to find another career. He's not wrestling anymore. So you got to make the transition. And he's, look, I can say that Cena's not a good actor, and he's not, but he's better than Hulk Hogan. Remember the Hogan movies?
No.
Oh my gosh.
What was he in?
Mr. Mom?
He was in No Holds Barred. He was in, a bunch of these just horrid. He made a TV series called like Thunder Bay. It was like a Baywatch knockoff.
Hell, he was even horrible in his own sex video.
Yes.
He can't even act in his own porn vid.
The best was when Hogan at trial had to admit that he had a small penis. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
how did it come up, and what did he have to say? I don't remember this.
There was a great clip, and I don't remember exactly. He was, because it was Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yeah.
Right, I'm sure the clip's still out there.
Yeah,
Bubba the Love Sponge was his buddy, and Hogan was having sex with Bubba's wife, and Bubba knew about it. It was like Bubba wanted him to, and like they were
situation. Huh?
There was something about how they were trying to prove that Hogan knew what was going on, and because they were talking about like him and Bubba were talking about like some dude with like a big hog. And Hogan was like, well, we weren't talking about
clearly me. Not talking about me.
Yes. And the guy was like, the guy was badgering Hogan, and Hogan goes, dude, it's not me. He's like, I don't have a big penis. He goes, we were talking about like a 10-inch penis. He's like, I don't have a big one. So, and like Hogan said something like, if you've seen the tape, like, you like, I don't have a big on the stand at a trial. Hogan had to come out and be like,
yeah that's right. I'll confirm that.
Yeah, that's sure. I'm not packing heat. It's the best part of that old trial.
Yeah, they said, after playing audio clips from Bubba the Love Sponge Show and the Howard Stern Show, Hogan, whose real name is Terry Bollea, discussed his sex life. Michael Sullivan, the lawyer, asked the former wrestler if he, in fact, said those things. And Hogan said, referring to an interview he did in character, I do not have a 10-inch penis. Terry Bollea's penis is not 10 inches. I was totally Hulk Hogan during the interviews because I wasn't at home in my private house.
I only lie about having a big Johnson.
Whoa.
Hogan's such a yutz.
Locked, cocked, ready to rock.
And, well, anyway. I was dating a gal who liked,
inches?
Dating the wrong...
She didn't get that.
She wasn't dating Hulk Hogan.
I've never seen so much dong in my life.
There was two hot wrestling sisters. I don't remember what their names are, but they were twins.
Are they recent?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen them.
And they were hot. They were like two hot twins. And one of them was with
the Bella twins.
The Bella twins.
They have a reality show.
Well, that's
Nikki Bella and Haley Bella, something like that.
Bree.
And so my gal at the time loved watching. She loved the Bella twins. So this show would be on, and she hated John Cena, because Cena was dating one of them, mm-hmm. And this is the only thing that Cena's ever done that I like. Cena had one of the, I don't remember what twin he was with, had her move into the house, and when you move into the house, you have to sign rules to go into John Cena's house, saying that if he wants you to leave, you have to leave. Like, there's, like, codes of conduct.
Almost like an NDA, but way more advanced.
Yeah, and, like, Cena is really, like, he's really fancy. He likes things his exact way. And he made, like, it was this weird thing. He made her sign a contract, basically. If you want to date John Cena, you have to sign a contract agreeing to certain stipulations to be with John Cena. And it made him look like a giant horse's ass, and they all hated him. I thought it was great. Cena's like, yeah, baby, I love you, but I'm going to need you to sign these documents right here before you decide to come into the Cena household.
How many celebs do you think do that? I bet a lot.
Probably a lot.
More than we think.
Yeah. Because there's like common law stuff, and
you
just...
Well, and you get burnt.
Yes.
Somebody steals from you, or like they're in it for the wrong reasons, and like, I kind of see the flip side of that.
Yeah.
Where you would, if you're someone of his stature, that you would cover your... You know, you got to cover your bases. Yeah.
There was something about weird. There was something because he's like a big anti-kid guy. So there was stuff in there about like birth control, like mandates. And like when you ate dinner at his house, it had to be you had to like dress up. Like there was dress codes at his house. There were times and places that you could or could not wear like comfies. And I was like, oh, my God, can you imagine living in a house with John Cena and you're coming down to dinner and John Cena's like, you're not dressed for dinner. like he's in a suit, like at dinner. You're just the two of you at the house. And he's like, I'm going to need you to go change. He's a weird duck.
Now I'm reading about Cena and they're saying that the critics panned his appearance on The Bear.
Probably should, but he can't act.
Yeah, but I thought he was pretty funny on
there. Yeah.
I don't know. He was good. What do I know?
The only thing I've seen him in that he was in that Suicide Squad movie, and he was okay in that because he plays a douchey superhero. Like, but it ain't worse than The Rock. The Rock cannot act. The Rock is brutal, and I like The Rock, but holy God!
Yeah, I like him as a person. I've never seen him in a single thing that I was like, oh, that was like I thought the idea of Ballers was great, cool. Give me a sports centric entourage. Sounds awesome. He was unwatchable. You can throw as many Miami models in my face as you want. I couldn't watch The Rock. He's terrible.
So bad.
I watched that show.
Yeah,
I couldn't keep up with it. Couldn't do it.
You're so right. He's so bad at it.
I watched it. He made a superhero movie like Black Adam. So bad. It's just like you have to watch it like through your fingers. It's that bad.
Oh, and they had him sing in the Disney movie Moana. He's terrible at that too.
I actually liked Moana.
The You're Welcome song is awful. He's terrible.
Wow. And yet worth how much?
Oh God, so much.
How much
money
is that dude worth?
And I was a Rock super fan as a wrestler.
Hey, by the way,
he's got a great personality. He's a super nice guy.
Well, let's just keep with TV talk.
Yeah,
there's a show that you and I both totally med.
Mm.
That means
yeah,
meh. But it's back, and I'm here to report to you. You need to get back on board.
Get right the hell out of town. Yeah. All right.
And maybe you already are.
I don't know.
But let's check.
Now, once I miss something, there's a good chance I ain't coming back.
I think you should come back to this.
All right.
We'll get to that next. But first, Buck.
Well, this is awkward. So.
Yeah, what do you think that show is that you gave up on?
I don't know. He was all excited about, like, telling me about the show.
Oh, you know what? He has COVID again.
He got COVID in the bathroom?
Right now.
Is that what happened?
Fifth time.
The Rona came back strong and got him? Like to see that he's in rare form. People are pointing out that like Stone Cold Steve Austin and Goldberg are good actors. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Stop. Yes, they were in The Longest Yard. And in something like that, when you can be Goldberg and play Bill Goldberg,
yeah,
it works.
Wasn't he also like a former football player too?
Yeah, he played for like the Falcons.
Yeah.
So yes, if you have Stone Cold in a limited role and he can play like a security guard, sure. But this is the problem with like The Rock. You can only play one thing, and mm-hmm. like there's only so many times you can play that one role, especially when you can't act.
And I think that's why they thought Ballers would work. It's like, oh, he looks the part.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he still can't act, even if he looks the part.
Say what you will about like Stallone or Schwarzenegger or like, you know, Bruce Willis, like a lot of the action stars. Yes, they play the same role every time. That's why Jason Statham. But at least you're good at it. The problem with all the wrestlers is they can only play one thing and they're not good. they're not good at it. Why is it
that wrestlers are this?
Well, because you can only wrestle for so long, but you already have a built-in fan base. You have a big personality, name brand recognition.
Well, yeah, you're right. Star wrestlers have a huge following.
I think this is a little bit like NASCAR and brand sponsors. The base that follows is so loyal to those individuals you can sell that. You can sell tickets on that.
I mean, it makes sense.
It is kind of amazing that, again, no one believes that The Rock is any good, but everything he does is... He just keeps getting more opportunities because he's likable. If you're likable, you have a big name. And look, he looks like a superhero. And that's the weird thing about The Rock, too, is when he started out, he did not look like this. Like, if you look at The Rock when he first set out, The Rock tried to be an actor. And then he realized that he's not very good at it. And you can't get roles just being an average-looking guy. And he was like, you know what I can do, though? Get up to 285 pounds with 4% body fat and be the largest dude on screen and, you know, larger than life. It's the Schwarzenegger thing, and it worked.
And do you think you have to pay less for those guys than, like, the star actors? Like,
well, when they start, but, now The Rock is...
Well,
for a while, he was charging a bunch, but I bet you get him pretty cheap now because his stuff doesn't make any money.
Right, so he... And you see the movies that he does.
Yes.
So it all pencils.
It all pencils.
Like, you know, he's cheap. He's got a big following. Throw him in there. You know, do a crappy ass movie.
Yeah.
Throw some money at it, and you'll make 10 times the money in the box office.
Yeah.
Because people will go watch him do anything.
Yeah. And when they do some of the bigger budget stuff, it flops because that only works for so long. But when you make a $180 million superhero movie, you can't make that up just off The Rock. You need people to actually go and think it's good.
Here's somebody who said Adam Sandler has made a career out of playing Adam Sandler, and last time I checked, he's kind of rich.
Brilliant about it.
That's true.
Yes.
Amazing. He's a one-off, though.
He may be the best of all time. I think it's between him and Schwarzenegger. They may be the best at just playing themselves, and it works.
Although... Sandler has gone, like, even recently, he had that Netflix basketball movie. It wasn't remotely supposed to be funny. He was a serious scout / coach. Like, he's even tried to do some other stuff.
Yeah, Punch Drunk Love, a couple things. He's branched out to some, and I actually like some of the dramatic stuff, but, dude, he knows where his bread is buttered.
That's the gambling one. That one was good.
Yeah, he always goes back to, what is that stupid grown-ups? Like, you can always make a grown-ups movie for a little bit for a super cheap budget and people will eat it up. Eddie Murphy did this. Like, people give Eddie Murphy crap because at one point he was super edgy, great stand-up, Beverly Hills Cop, all that stuff. And then his career kind of started to fade and people gave him crap. And I saw an interview once where he raged against them and he goes, look at my box office. He goes, my movies make money. They're not the movies that critics like, but all those Nutty Professor and crap like that. He made so much money off of doing these dumb kid flicks, but he's like, I make money.
More power to him.
He's like, I'm rich.
It's like Ice Cube. I mean, he was in NWA shouting F the police, and then he's doing kids movies called Carpool where he drives a minivan. Yep.
And yes, he sold out, and yes, you know, all those things, but that dude sits on a pile of money and is like, dude, you can call me whatever you want. I'm rich.
All right, so let's take a break, and then we'll have a nice, juicy final seggy here. And I'll tell you the show I think you need to get back into.
I'm intrigued.
We'll do that next. It's 6:45 on The Fan. All right, so we'll just wrap it up with TV talk here, since that's all I've been doing. Got caught up in everything that I needed to, including this show. And this is a show that you and I, neither of us liked it when it first came out. This is only season two.
Mm-hmm.
Season one, you and I, there was a lot of hype about it, and you and I were both like, dude, this show sucks.
Yeah.
Really boring. I'm here to tell you that season two is fire, and you need to go back.
All right, what do we guys, I don't know.
Oh, I think I know where you may be going with this.
I am talking about House of the Dragon.
I have heard this. Yeah.
Dude, I am not kidding.
That show blows.
No, here's the thing. I was with you on season one. It was boring. It sucked. And I thought the king was terrible.
I hated the king. The stupid... They did that age gap jump where some of the characters aged 13
years.
It was terrible.
It drove the audience crazy.
And some aged like 14. Like,
I didn't finish first season.
It was ridiculous. Like,
okay, wait a minute. You didn't finish the first season?
No, I gave up on the show. That was terrible.
Okay, well, I think you need to either recap it or go back and watch it.
Maybe I'm hearing from my friends the season two is
dude,
amazing.
It is really good. Yeah. And here's why. Here's the reason. This is a tangible reason why. I'm not saying this is just my opinion. House of the Dragon is a Game of Thrones prequel.
Yes. Right.
And so because of the popularity of Game of Thrones, a lot of people like you and I were like, ah, come on. They're just...
I made the argument that if you didn't have Game of Thrones attached to that, and HBO just released this show and was like, hey, here's a cool dragon show, that thing would have flopped on its
ass. It was purely riding coattails.
And I agree. But what happens is, and because they have these little vignettes at the end of the episodes where the writers or the producers and everybody talk about it. And one of the guys on there said, season one of this series was merely setting everything up for the conflict. The conflict has begun in season two.
Yeah, the war.
And dude, it is back to Game of Thrones, where every episode something big happens and you do not know who's gonna die.
Hmm.
Like it's dude, it's good. I'm telling you.
Interesting.
And the key here,
I'm skeptical.
This is another reason why this can be true. The key is these are already written. George R. R. Martin wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already out there. Like the guy couldn't find the time to finish, but he was able to write like a 10-book series of prequel stuff.
Yeah.
So this stuff has already... In other words, you're not relying on
big
Hollywood to finish off Game of
Thrones. Because that was the problem with Game of Thrones. When they ran out of the source material, it got terrible.
Exactly. So that's not this. This is actually George R. R. Martin's story. It's really well done this time. And dude, the CGI, man...
Hmm.
There's
dragons are pretty cool.
There is a dragon battle. It is freaking killer.
Interesting.
So I'm telling you...
And they're all out. I can binge the whole thing.
No, I think I might do the season one like YouTube recap or something and dive
just
right
do
into
that.
Two.
You're not missing a damn thing.
No, you're not.
And I think I made it three episodes in, and I'm like, I don't know. It wasn't for me.
All you need to do, and trust me, season one was boring. I was with you because the kids were telling me about it in Vegas. They're like, oh, you got to get back into season two. I'm like, oh, shut up. That show sucked.
Yeah.
I was big Sook, but they were like, dude, trust us. It's changed. It's really good. And so, being on my deathbed, I was just like, all right, fine, I'll give it a shot.
What else you got?
It is not all out. It's I think there's only four episodes out right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm telling you, the first episode, just watch the first episode,
and
you're like,
hooked?
Whoa.
Huh.
Dude, it's back on.
Okay.
It's back on. I'm telling you.
Any of those bratty kids, because I want them all to die.
They do.
That's the problem.
There is death.
And that's one of the problems that I had with it is I hated every character in the show. There was no one that I liked. You have someone that I can root for, right? They're all terrible.
You didn't like Rhaenyra?
Well, I liked her when she was like 14, and then they aged her 1,000 years.
Well, yeah, she's adult Rhaenyra now.
Yeah,
but I like the hand guy, Otto.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, if you don't have to, you can do whatever the hell you want.
I'll give this a whirl.
I'm not a man who throws out recommendations
lightly.
No,
you do not.
And I am telling you. Season two of House of the Dragon is actually really good.
Right, well,
I can't wait for the next episode.
Now I'm intrigued because you really don't throw out recommendations willy nilly.
Watch it and come back and say I'm wrong.
Okay.
But I bet you come back and be like, dude, it's good.
Interesting. Yeah, because I really liked. I was late to the Game of Thrones party. Not as late as you were, but I started watching.
I was very late.
Yeah, I started watching like four seasons in. And it hooked me. I was like, cool, I'm in. And then the last season I hated so much. It left me with such a bad taste in my mouth. And then I was like, oh, they're doing the prequel. I'm like, cool, a chance to right the wrong of that dog-ass last season. I make this bold statement right here. That's the best show with the worst last season I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well,
an absolute hunk of crap.
Yeah, but Game of Thrones was great.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's the best show with the worst last season.
Sure.
And then,
I don't even think it's close.
And then when the House of Dragons came in, I was so geeked. It was like, cool, redemption time. I hated it worse than I did the last season of that.
Yeah.
And
it was
deflated
bad.
Me.
Trust me, it was bad. It's better. And episode four, I think it was the dragon fight scene.
Yeah.
They're saying that episode ranked as high as some of the top five most watched, most loved Red Wedding.
Yeah.
Like, Game of Thrones, there are some scenes that iconic.
The Red Wedding being probably number one.
They are already talking about this episode as that level.
Okay, well, now I'm intrigued. One, the dragons were the only cool thing about that first season, because the dragons are cool. And if you tell me that some of those wiener brat kids died, because I want them all to die.
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but good. I can tell you.
I know that people are going to die.
Yeah.
And I want it to
it's
be
war.
I want it to be the stupid kids. I hate them all. All need to go.
And
go dragons.
You get some dong.
Well, that's nice.
And I know you love your dong.
I do like.
You're going to get.
I like when we go Thunder Gun Express and someone hangs dong. I'm a big fan.
That show is nothing without its dong.
Yes.
Randomly. It doesn't even need to show it, but they do.
When they started offing the guests at the Red Wedding, when they killed the bride, that may be the biggest what the F moment I've ever seen in TV.
Dude, that's...
What?
It's epic.
Yeah.
That episode?
Yeah. It's an all-timer.
I remember when Game of Thrones hooked me was when they... I think it was the first season, right? When...
Ned?
Ned got...
It's the first episode.
Was
that the first episode?
Yes, because that's what hooks you. You're like, oh, this is... Oh, was it the first or was it like second or third?
The first episode.
No, I know it was the first season, but yeah, you're like, this is the main character. He'll be around forever.
He was the most famous one on that show.
And he gets beheaded.
Yeah, right off the get-go. I'm pretty sure that's the first episode.
This show's legit.
And they're like, whoop.
That's kind of what this season is like.
Joffy got poisoned. His eyes are all bugging out.
You're that like, one for me, maybe better than the Red Wedding. That was just so cathartic.
Crazy. All right. Well, tomorrow we're gonna have a best of, so you'll hear us. But we're actually gonna be out at Langdon Farms with all you bros, golfing, drinking, having a good time. It's gonna be a fun day. Hope to see you out there. Otherwise, we're back Friday, 3 to 7 on the Fan. Good night.
Friendships of Spain.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Well, this is awkward. So.
Yeah, what do you think that show is that you gave up on?
I know, he was all excited about, like, telling me about the show.
Oh, you know what? He has COVID again.
He got COVID in the bathroom?
Right now.
Is that what happened?
Fifth time.
The Rona came back strong and got him? Like, to see that he's in rare form. People are pointing out that, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Goldberg are good actors. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Stop. Yes, they were in The Longest Yard. And in something like that, when you can be Goldberg and play Bill Goldberg,
yeah,
it works.
Wasn't he also, like, a former football player?
Yeah, he played for, like, the Falcons.
Yeah.
So, yes, if you have Stone Cold in a limited role and he can play, like, a security guard, sure. But this is the problem with, like The Rock. You can only play one thing, and, mm-hmm. like, there's only so many times you can play that one role, especially when you can't act.
And I think that's why they thought Ballers would work. It's like, oh, he looks the part.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he still can't act, so even if he looks the part.
Say what you will about, like, Stallone or Schwarzenegger or, like, you know, Bruce Willis, like a lot of the action stars. Yes, they play the same role every time. That's why. Jason Statham. But at least you're good at it. The problem with all the wrestlers is they can only play one thing, and they're not good. They're not good at it.
Why is it that wrestlers are this?
Well, because you can only wrestle for so long, but you already have a built-in fan base. You have a big personality, name brand recognition.
Well, yeah, you're right. Star wrestlers have a huge following.
I think this is a little bit like NASCAR and brand sponsors. The base that follows is so loyal to those individuals you can sell that. You can sell tickets on that.
That makes sense.
It is kind of amazing that, again, no one believes that The Rock is any good, but everything he does is... He just keeps getting more opportunities because he's likable. If you're likable, you have a big name. And look, he looks like a superhero. And that's the weird thing about The Rock, too, is when he started out, he did not look like this. Like, if you look at The Rock when he first set out, The Rock tried to be an actor. And then he realized that he's not very good at it. And you can't get roles just being an average-looking guy. And he was like, you know what I can do, though? Get up to 285 pounds with 4% body fat and be the largest dude on screen and, you know, larger than life. It's the Schwarzenegger thing, and it worked.
And do you think you have to pay less for those guys than, like, the star actors? Like,
well, when they start, but, now The Rock is...
Well,
a while, he was charging a bunch, but I bet you get him pretty cheap now because his stuff doesn't make any money.
Right, so he... And you see the movies that he does.
Yes.
So it all pencils.
It all pencils.
Like, you know, he's cheap. He's got a big following. Throw him in there. You know, do a crappy-ass movie.
Yep.
Throw some money at it, and you'll make 10 times the money in the box office.
Yeah.
Because people will go watch him do anything.
Yeah. And when they do some of the bigger budget stuff, it flops because that only works for so long. But when you make a $180 million superhero movie... You can't make that up just off The Rock. You need people to actually go and think it's good.
Here's somebody who said Adam Sandler has made a career out of playing Adam Sandler, and last time I checked, he's kind of rich.
Brilliant about it.
That's true.
Yes.
Amazing. He's a one-off, though.
He may be the best of all time. I think it's between him and Schwarzenegger. They may be the best at just playing themselves, and it works.
Although... Sandler has gone, like, even recently, he had that Netflix basketball movie. It wasn't remotely supposed to be funny. He was a serious scout / coach. Like, he's even tried to do some other stuff.
Yeah, Punch Drunk Love and a couple things. He's branched out to some, and I actually like some of the dramatic stuff, but, dude, he knows where his bread is buttered.
That's the gambling one. That one was good.
Yeah, he always goes back to, what is that stupid grown-ups? Like, you can always make a grown-ups movie for a super cheap budget, and people will eat it up. Eddie Murphy did this. Like, people give Eddie Murphy crap because at one point he was super edgy, great stand-up, Beverly Hills Cop, all that stuff, and then his career kind of started to fade, and people gave him crap. And I saw an interview once where he raged against them, and he goes, "Look at my box office." He goes, my movies make money. They're not the movies that critics like, but all those Nutty Professor and crap like that. He made so much money off of doing these dumb kid flicks, but he's like, I make money.
More power to him.
He's like, I'm rich.
It's like Ice Cube. I mean, he was in NWA shouting F the police, and then he's doing kids movies called Carpool where he drives a minivan.
Yep. And yes, he sold out, and yes, you know, all those things, but that dude sits on a pile of money and is like, dude, you can call me whatever you want. I'm rich.
All right, so let's take a break, and then we'll have a nice, juicy final seggy here. Okay. And I'll tell you the show I think you need to get back into.
I'm intrigued.
We'll do that next. It's 6:45 on The Fan. All right, so we'll just wrap it up with TV talk here, since that's all I've been doing. Got caught up in everything that I needed to, including this show, and this is a show that you and I, neither of us liked it when it first came out. This is only season two. Mm-hmm. Season one, you and I, there was a lot of hype about it, and you and I were both like, dude, this show sucks.
Yeah.
Really boring. I'm here to tell you that season two is fire, and you need to go back.
All right, what do we got? I don't know.
Oh, I think I know where you may be going with this.
I am talking about House of the Dragon.
I have heard this. Yeah.
Dude, I'm not kidding.
That show blows.
No, here's the thing. I was with you on season one. It was boring. It sucked. And I thought the king was terrible.
I hated the king. The stupid... They did that age gap jump where some of the characters aged 13 years. Terrible.
It drove the audience crazy.
And some aged like 14. Like,
I didn't finish first season.
It was ridiculous. Like
okay, wait a minute. You didn't finish the first season?
No, I gave up on the show. That was terrible.
Okay, well, I think you need to either recap it or go back and watch it.
Maybe I'm hearing from my friends the season two is
amazing.
Dude,
it is really good. Yeah. And here's why. Here's the reason. This is a tangible reason why. I'm not saying this is just my opinion. House of the Dragon is a Game of Thrones prequel.
Yes. Right.
And so because of the popularity of Game of Thrones, a lot of people like you and I were like, come on.
I made the argument that if you didn't have Game of Thrones attached to that, and HBO just released this show and was like, hey, here's a cool dragon show. That thing would have flopped on its ass.
It was purely riding coattails.
And I agree. But what happens is, and because they have these little vignettes at the end of the episodes where the writers or the producers and everybody talk about it. And one of the guys on there said, season one of this series was merely setting everything up for the conflict. The conflict has begun in season two.
Yeah, the war.
And dude, it is back to Game of Thrones, where every episode something big happens and you do not know who's going to die.
Hmm.
Like it's good. I'm telling you.
Interesting.
And the key here,
I'm skeptical.
This is another reason why this can be true. The key is these are already written. George R. R. Martin wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already out there. Like the guy couldn't find the time to finish, but he was able to write like a 10-book series of prequel stuff.
Yeah.
So this stuff has already... In other words, you're not relying on
big
Hollywood to finish off Game of
Thrones. Because that was when the problem with Game of Thrones. When they ran out of the source material, it got terrible.
Exactly. So that's not this. This is actually George R.R. Martin's story. It's really well done this time. And dude, the CGI, man.
Hmm.
There's
the dragons are pretty cool.
There is a dragon battle. It is freaking killer.
Interesting.
So I'm telling you.
And they're all out. I can binge the whole thing.
I might do the season one like YouTube recap or something and dive
into
two.
You're not missing a damn thing.
No, you're not.
And I think I made it three episodes in and I'm like, I don't know. It wasn't for me.
All you need to do, and trust me, season one was boring. I was with you because the kids were telling me about it in Vegas. They're like, oh, you got to get back into season two. I'm like, oh, shut up. That show sucked.
Yeah.
I was Big Sook. But they were like, dude, trust us. It's changed. It's really good. And so being on my deathbed, I was just like, all right, fine. I'll give it a shot.
What else you got?
It is not all out. I think there's only four episodes out right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm telling you, the first episode, just watch the first episode.
And
you're like, whoa.
Huh.
Dude, it's back on.
Okay.
It's back on. I'm telling you.
Any of those bratty kids, because I want them all to die.
They do.
That's the problem.
There is death.
And that's one of the problems that I had with it is I hated every character in the show. There was no one that I liked. You have someone that I can root for, right? They're all terrible.
You didn't like Rhaenyra?
Well, I liked her when she was like 14 and then they aged her 1,000 years.
Well, yeah, she's adult Rhaenyra now.
Yeah.
But I like the hand guy, or Otto.
I don't know.
I'm telling you. If you don't have to. You can do whatever the hell you want.
I'll give this a whirl.
I'm not a man who throws out recommendations
lightly.
No,
you do not.
And I am telling you, season two of House of the Dragon is actually really good.
Right, well,
and I can't wait for the next episode.
Now I'm intrigued because you really don't throw out recommendations willy-nilly.
Watch it and come back and say I'm wrong.
Okay.
But I bet you come back and be like, dude, it's good.
Interesting. Yeah, because I really liked. I was late to the Game of Thrones party. Not as late as you were, but I started watching.
I was very late.
Yeah, I started watching like four seasons in and it hooked me. I was like, cool, I'm in. And then the last season I hated so much. It left me with such a bad taste in my mouth. And then I was like, oh, they're doing the prequel. I'm like, cool, a chance to right the wrong of that dog ass last season. I make this bold statement right here. That's the best show with the worst last season I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well,
what
yeah.
an absolute hunk of crap.
Yeah, but Game of Thrones was great.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it is the best show with the worst last season.
Sure.
And then,
I don't even think it's close.
And then when the House of Dragons came in, I was so geeked. It was like, cool, redemption time. I hated it worse than I did the last season of that. Yeah. And it just
it was
deflated
bad.
Me.
Trust me, it All was right. bad. It's better. And episode 4, I think, it was the dragon fight scene.
Yeah.
They're saying that that episode ranked as high yeah. as some of the top 5 most watched, mm-hmm. most loved Red Game, Wedding. Yeah. Like, Game of Thrones, there are some scenes that are iconic.
The Red Wedding being probably number 1.
They are already talking about this episode yeah. as that level.
Now I'm intrigued. One, the dragons were the only cool thing about that first season, because the dragons are cool. And if you tell me that some of those wiener brat kids died, because I want them all to die.
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but good. I can tell
well,
you.
I know that people are going to die.
Yeah.
And I want it to
it's
be
war.
The, I want it to be the stupid kids. It's just, I hate them all. All need to go.
And
go dragons.
You get some dong.
Well, that's nice.
And I know you love your dong.
I do like. I
so
do
you're
like.
Gonna get.
I like when we go Thunder Gun Express and someone hangs dong. I'm a big fan.
That show is nothing without. It's dong.
Yes.
Randomly. It doesn't even need to show it, but they do.
When they started offing the guests at the Red Wedding, when they killed the bride, that may be the biggest what the F moment I've ever seen in TV.
Dude, that's...
What?
It's epic.
Yeah.
That episode?
Yeah. It's an all-timer.
I remember when Game of Thrones hooked me was when they... I think it was the first season, right? When...
Ned?
Ned got...
It's the first episode.
Was that
the first episode?
Yes, because that's what hooks you. You're like, oh, this is. Oh, was it the first or was it like the
no,
second or
it's
third?
The first episode.
Oh, I know it was the first season, but yeah, you're like, this is a main character. He'll be around forever.
He was the
Whoops.
Most famous one yeah, on that
and he,
show,
and he gets beheaded.
Yeah, right off the get go.
And you're
pretty
like,
sure that's
oh,
the first episode.
This show's legit.
And they're like, whoop.
That's kind of what this season is yeah. like.
Joffy got poisoned. His eyes are all bugging out.
You're that like, one for me, maybe better than the Red Wedding. That was just so cathartic.
Crazy. All right. Well, tomorrow we're going to have a best of, so you'll hear us. But we're actually going to be out at Langdon Farms with all you bros, golfing, drinking, having a good time. It's going to be a fun day. Hope to see you out there. Otherwise, we're back Friday, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night. Become Tony with a pirate ships of space. All right, so we'll just wrap it up with TV talk here, since that's all I've been doing. Got caught up in everything that I needed to, including this show, and this is a show that you and I, neither of us liked it when it first came out. This is only season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Season 1, you and I, there was a lot of hype about it, and you and I were both like, dude, this show sucks.
Yeah.
Really boring. I'm here to tell you that season 2 is fire, and you need to go back.
All right, what do we guys? I don't know.
Oh, I think I know where you may be going with this.
I am talking about House of the Dragon.
I have
Get
heard
out
this,
of here.
Yeah,
dude. I'm not kidding.
That show blows.
No, here's the thing. I was with you on season 1. It was boring. It
yes.
sucked, and I thought the king was terrible.
I hated the king. The stupid. They did that age gap jump.
Yeah.
Where some of the characters aged. 13
it was
years.
Terrible.
It drove the audience crazy.
And some aged like 14. Like,
I didn't finish first season.
It was ridiculous. Like,
okay, wait a minute. You didn't finish the first season?
No, I gave up on the show. That was
okay.
terrible.
Okay, well, I think you need to either recap it or go back and watch it.
Maybe I'm hearing from my friends that season 2 is
dude,
amazing.
Dude, it is really
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And here's why. Here's the reason. This is a tangible reason why. I'm not saying this is just my opinion. House of the Dragon is a Game of Thrones prequel.
Yes.
Right.
And so because of the popularity of Game of Thrones, a lot of people like you and I were like, ah, come on. They're just...
I made the argument that if you didn't have Game of Thrones
yes.
attached to that, and
right.
HBO just released this show and was like, hey, here's a cool dragon show, that thing would have flopped on
right.
its
that
ass.
That it was purely riding coattails.
And I agree.
Yeah.
But what happens is, and they, because they have these little vignettes at the end of the episodes where the writers or the producers and everybody talk about it. And one of the guys on there said season one of this series was merely setting everything up for the conflict. The conflict has begun in season two.
Yeah, the war.
And dude, it is back to Game of Thrones, where every episode something big happens and you do not know who's gonna die.
Hmm.
Like it's dude, it's good. I'm telling you.
Interesting.
And the key here,
I'm skeptical.
This is another reason why this can be true. The key is these are already written. George R. R. Martin wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already out there. Like the guy couldn't find the time to finish, but he was able to write like a 10-book series of prequel stuff.
Yeah.
So this stuff has already, in other words, you're not relying on
big
Hollywood to finish off Game of
Thrones. Because that was when the problem with Game of Thrones. When they ran out of the source material, it got terrible.
Exactly. So that's not this. This is actually George R.R. Martin's story. It's really well done this time. And dude, the CGI, man, there's
the dragons are pretty cool.
There is a dragon battle. It is freaking killer.
Interesting.
So I'm telling you.
And they're all out. I can binge the whole thing.
No.
I might do the season one like YouTube recap or something and dive
just
right
do
into
that.
Two.
You're not missing a damn thing.
No, you're not.
And I think I made it three episodes in and I'm like, I don't know. It wasn't for me.
All you need to do, and trust me, season one was boring. I was with you because the kids were telling me about it in Vegas. They're like, oh, you got to get back into season two. I'm like, oh, shut up. That show sucked.
Yeah.
I was Big Sook. But they were like, dude, trust us. It's changed. It's really good. And so being on my deathbed, I was just like, all right, fine. I'll give it a shot.
What else you got?
It is not all out. It's I think there's only four episodes out right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm telling you, the first episode, just watch the first episode.
And
you're like,
hooked?
Whoa.
Huh.
Dude, it's back on.
Okay.
It's back on. I'm telling you.
Any of those bratty kids, because I want them all to die.
They do.
That's the problem.
There is death.
And that's one of the problems that I had with it is I hated every character in the show. There was no one that I liked. You have someone that I can root for, right? They're all terrible.
You didn't like Rhaenyra?
Well, I liked her when she was like 14 and then they aged her 1,000 years.
Well, yeah, she's adult Rhaenyra now.
Yeah.
But I like the hand guy, Otto.
I don't know.
I'm telling you. If you don't have to. You can do whatever the hell you want.
I'll give this a whirl.
I'm not a man who throws out recommendations
lightly.
No,
you do not.
And I am telling you, season two of House of the Dragon is actually really good.
Right, well,
I can't wait for the next episode.
Now I'm intrigued because you really don't throw out recommendations willy-nilly.
Watch it and come back and say I'm wrong.
Okay.
But I bet you come back and be like, dude, it's good.
Interesting. Yeah, because I really liked. I was late to the Game of Thrones party. Not as late as you were, but I started watching.
I was very late.
Yeah, I started watching like four seasons in, and it hooked me. I was like, "Cool, I'm in." And then the last season, I hated so much, it left me with such a bad taste in my mouth. And then I was like, "Oh, they're doing the prequel." I'm like, "Cool, a chance to right the wrong of that dog ass last season." I make this bold statement right here. That's the best show with the worst last season I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well,
what
an
absolute hunk of crap.
Yeah, but Game of Thrones was great.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it is the best show with the worst last season.
Sure.
And then,
I don't even think it's close.
And then when the House of Dragons came in, I was so geeked. It was like, cool, redemption time. I hated it worse than I did the last season of that.
Yeah.
And
it was
deflated
bad.
Me.
Trust me, it was bad. It's better. And episode four, I think it was the dragon fight scene.
Yeah.
They're saying that episode ranked as high as some of the top five most watched, most loved Red Wedding.
Yeah.
Like Game of Thrones, there are some scenes that are iconic.
The Red Wedding being probably number one.
They are already talking about this episode as that level.
Now I'm intrigued. One, the dragons were the only cool thing about that first season because the dragons are cool. And if you tell me that some of those wiener brat kids died, because I want them all to die.
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but
good.
I can tell you.
I know that people are going to die.
Yeah.
And I want it to
it's
be
war.
I want it to be the stupid kids. I hate them all. All need to go.
And
go dragons.
You get some dong.
Well, that's nice.
And I know you love your dong.
I do like.
So you're
going
to get.
I like when we go Thunder Gun Express and someone hangs dong. I'm a big fan.
That show is nothing without its dong.
Yes.
Randomly. It doesn't even need to show it, but they do.
When they started offing the guests at the Red Wedding, when they killed the bride, that may be the biggest what the F moment I've ever seen in TV.
Dude, that's...
What?
It's epic.
Yeah.
That episode?
Yeah. It's an all-timer.
I remember when Game of Thrones hooked me was when they... I think it was the first season, right? When...
Ned?
Ned got...
It's the first episode.
That was...
Was that the first episode?
Yes, because that's what hooks you. You're like, oh, this is... Oh, was it the first or was it like second or third?
The first episode.
Oh, I know it was the first season, but yeah, you're like, this is the main character. He'll be around forever.
He was the most famous one on that show.
And he gets beheaded.
Yeah, right off the get-go. And I'm pretty sure that's the first episode.
This show's legit.
And they're like, whoop.
That's kind of what this season is like.
Joffy got poisoned. His eyes are all bugging out.
Like, that one for me, maybe better than the Red Wedding. That was just so cathartic.
Crazy. All right. Well, tomorrow we're going to have a best of, so you'll hear us. But we're actually going to be out at Langdon Farms with all you bros, golfing, drinking, having a good time. It's going to be a fun day. Hope to see you out there. Otherwise, we're back Friday, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Ships of Spain.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.